Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I, Azeem, talk to some of the top marketers in the industry, find out everything about them, how they got to where they are today, and more importantly, sharing some really useful marketing tips that will help everybody listening to this become better marketers. Stay tuned for another great episode. Hello and welcome back to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. Really excited for my guest today. She has got a background in journalism and media law. She's the senior SEO manager at Absolute Digital Media. More recently, she smashed it at Brighton SEO 2021 as a speaker. And she lives on coffee, red wine and plants, which is an interesting combination I've absolutely nicked from her Twitter bio, which I'm going to ask her more about shortly. But I've got the awesome Sophie Brannan. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Not a problem at all. I do have to very quickly ask you, coffee, red wine and plants, not all together or?
Well, it depends on the day. It depends how long. No, not altogether. So, I mean, literally we'll drink coffee from 9 until 6 when I finish. And then from 6 onwards, it's open the bottle of red wine and relax. So, yeah.
You must have the best night's sleep ever, which I'll ask you about after recording because I need tips to improve my sleep. But yeah, this is not a sleep podcast. So before the show, for the icebreaker, I asked you to come up with two truths and a lie, and I've got to try and figure out which one is not true. This is going to be really hard because this is the first time we've met, but I'm going to give it a go. So let's do it.
Cool. So first one, I own a sausage dog called Frankie. Second, I have a pet snake. And third, I'm in my spare time, I like to train a lot in aerial arts.
Ooh. I think I'm going to narrow it down to a pet because I don't know a lot about pets, but I can't see how a dog and a snake would get on. So I think it's the snake.
I actually do have a snake and don't have a dog.
Oh, shit. Frankie, I was close.
Frankie the sausage dog is actually my boss's pet, and I stole it. No, I actually have 2 snakes and 3 geckos. So, yeah, really weird pets, but I love them.
Oh, amazing. I'll take some comfort in the fact that guessing that snakes and dogs don't get on should get me like 0.5 point. But anyway, let's move swiftly on. You are absolutely smashing it, and I've seen some of your talks before. But for anybody who sadly does not know who you are or know about you, do you want to give a quick introduction to yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I am Senior SEO Manager at Absolute Digital Media. We're a full-service marketing agency specialising mostly in SEO, PPC and digital PR, but also do everything across the board. So UX, CRO, web design, web development, anything you can think of digital, we'll probably do it. I've been in the industry for 5 years, so started at Absolute as a content writer, worked my way up to head of content, moved across to the SEO account management team, and then onto senior SEO manager, where now I look after the account managers, content account managers, and just leading the way with the SEO at the agency. So it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, I always see things that you guys put out, although I haven't been very active on Twitter recently. But yeah, like I said, you seem to be giving conference talks everywhere, elevating yourself. So I'm very glad that you've taken some time out of one of your very busy evenings, I presume. Hopefully filled full of coffee, I imagine, to get through this. But we're going to be talking all about SEO strategy. So how would you define an SEO strategy?
So for me, SEO strategy is everything I do. Working with the account management team, I handle my own clients and look after the other account managers and their client campaigns and strategies as well. So a strategy for SEO really is a roadmap to success. It's an organizational process, or kind of a step-by-step plan, I like to think of it as, of all of the different stages that really need to be taken in order to really grow your organic search presence. So an SEO strategy should really consist of, or be based on, in my opinion, a really in-depth audit of all areas of a website. So content, technical, off-site as well, as well as having that really deep understanding of the market that you're trying to really encroach into too. So it's all really about that roadmap and those stages of how you're going to achieve that end goal.
Awesome. So I'm going to pick your brains a little bit further on that. So you mentioned it's a roadmap. So thinking about that roadmap, what would you say is the most common overlooked aspect of SEO strategies in your opinion?
So with the roadmap, and particularly with SEO, it's quite difficult to say, right, we're going to forecast you're going to get X, Y, and Z results by this time. With PPC, it's a lot easier because you can really forecast it. You can use kind of Google keyword plans to do that. SEO really does depend on what your market's doing, what Google's doing, and all of those kind of things. So I think the biggest thing that's overlooked is that understanding of the market and how your strategy really intertwines with that. And then I also think user experience isn't something that's factored into that many SEO strategies. All of the ones I've ever seen is very, you need to do this with your content, you need to do this with your technical, you need to be doing these kind of links, you need to be doing this kind of digital PR to get those links. But the way Google's going is all user experience. You've got the Core Web Vitals update in May, and that's all about user experience and site speed. But that's not something that we really see too much of in SEO strategies, unless we're kind of pinpointing that with site speed and Core Web Vitals. So definitely UX and kind of that general understanding of the market space as well.
Awesome, thank you. I'm going to sidestep for a minute there because you did mention Core Web Vitals, which before I was like, mate, it's ages away, but like literally it's about 4 and a bit weeks away now, which is crazy. How prepared do you think the industry is for that, and is it going to be as big a thing as it seems to be made out?
I think the industry as a whole has been quite prepared because we've known about this for probably coming up to 12 months, although they said they'd give a 6 months notice of when exactly it was going to happen. But they have kind of been changing the guidelines. Like Google Search Console did an update of the Core Web Vitals specifications, I think maybe February time. Google's only just updated their FAQs on the Core Web Vitals, I think literally last night or the night before. So generally, things are changing so quickly with it. So it's kind of hard to really be fully prepared. But we've got the basic outline. We kind of know that you've got the three metrics, so your FID, LCP, CLS. We know what we're looking at, and we kind of know with kind of page speed insights and things like that. Do I think it's going to be a big Armageddon update, maybe like the Panda and the Penguins? No, I think it's going to be more of a mobile-first indexing update, so a gradual over time, slowly roll out, hitting those really bad user experience websites first and foremost. But generally, as long as it's an ongoing process and people's websites are ticking the boxes, not just from a Core Web Vitals perspective, but from all other perspectives as well, so your technical, your content, your offsite, then people should be okay.
Awesome. So stepping away from Core Web Vitals for a minute then, we very nicely sidestepped. When we're talking about SEO strategies, where do you think people go wrong when they're strategizing for SEO?
I think maybe not spending enough time on the auditing process or not really understanding the client's overall goals and objectives for a campaign. Really, the overall goal is what's going to shape the individual objectives of your SEO campaign and what you're going to prioritize and achieve that. So if you're not doing your full audit and you're not kind of really pinpointing down your customer's needs, then you're strategizing based on some keywords you want to rank for because this tech audit has highlighted these issues, not the end goal. So I think it's really focusing on that end goal. What are you trying to achieve? Are you going to get your client the ROI that they're actually looking for? Where's the real business value? And that's what people sometimes miss when they're doing a strategy for SEO.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thanks very much for sharing. I wanted to move on and ask you then, so if there are people listening to this who maybe want to progress into their career and don't really have experience in the strategic side of SEO, what advice would you give those people who want to start learning more about creating their own strategies?
I think the biggest thing for me is to talk to people because nobody is an expert in everything. And I think for me, that's the biggest benefit of working agency side because you have a whole team of people to talk to about if you're not sure about something, whether that's an industry you haven't worked in before, whether you're facing a particular technical problem or a particular issue with content that you haven't faced, you've got all of these people to talk to. But even if you're working in-house, there's such a great community in the SEO world, particularly on Twitter, on LinkedIn. You've got the Women in Tech community who I like to work really quite closely with. Ask people if you're not sure about creating your own strategy. I think, again, going back to that end goal situation, make sure you're keeping that end goal, what those final objectives are, the entire time you're putting a strategy together. Because it's not just about what you're doing, it's about why you're doing it. Because if you don't understand the why, then there's really no point in doing it in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Could not agree with you more. You've led me on nicely to my next question, which I've absolutely not prepared you for, so I'm really interested to learn your answer here. What would you say when you've been strategizing for SEO is the biggest mistake that you've made, and how did you get past it?
For me, the biggest mistake I've ever made is overlooking some of the more historic technical things. So overlooking some historical redirects that have been in place. I might have done a crawl on Screaming Frog and put together a keyword mapping file based on these great URLs, gone to get the content written and realised that those URLs haven't existed for ages because I haven't completed all of the technical side of it as well. So I really learned from that, because it's a matter of breaking down all of those individual areas as in-depth as possible. And going back to what I said earlier about just making sure that you're doing that full audit as part of the strategy. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to come across issues like I did, where I've gone, I'm going to do all these great things, and then you can't. Or you can try and reverse something that happened ages ago, you know? So yeah, just making sure you're doing that auditing thing is just so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to touch a little bit more then right now on your current role and what sort of challenges you're facing in terms of with content and SEO, being agency side in a pandemic, lots of things there. How are you overcoming all of those?
Yeah, it's been a wild 12 months, hasn't it? Like, I don't even know how we've all got through it, but we have. We're there. In terms of challenges, there's been a few real kind of key ones that we've been facing kind of agency side, and I think generally the industry as well. The first being changing consumer behaviours. So having to really quickly adapt things like the content, things like updates, whether that's in SEO or also kind of social media, being able to really adapt to the fact that people are online a lot more than they ever were before, simply because they have to be, because they can't come out. So that's really changed how people are searching and what they're searching for and the actual intent behind it as well. So being able to actually adapt to that has been a real challenge, and keeping a close eye on Google Trends, keeping a close eye on what people are talking about, and being able to see how Google's really adapting their search results in line with those changing consumer behaviours as well is just really, really been important. But it's been a real challenge for us.
That's really interesting. Thanks very much for sharing. You've made me think of another question I've absolutely not prepared you for again. Sorry, there might be a few more, but YOLO. What is your process for self-development? So you mentioned lots of things there that you've got to try and keep on top of. How do you do that? What is your process for learning?
For me, I've almost got a bit of an obsession of always having to know everything. So I'm always all over Twitter, I'm always all over the different communities and just making sure I know what's going on based on what people are talking about. I found social media to be really, really invaluable when it comes to learning, particularly the last 12 months or so. But just generally being up to date with the news, being up to date with kind of Search Engine Journal, Search Engine Land, those kind of really big publications. And also really looking closely at Google, seeing how Google's adapting to everything, because we've all had to adapt, but Google has as well, in terms of how people are searching and what kind of information is being put out, how they're controlling that information as well, how they're showing things. All of these different things are happening, and just being really on top of it in terms of just looking around has just been so important over the last 12 months. And I think going forward, it's going to be as well. It's such a fast-changing industry that even despite everything that's gone on in the last 12 months, making sure you're always up to date, making sure that you're doing your research, you're kind of picking up these new resources, picking up these new skills. There's loads of courses online, free ones, paid for ones, all of these different things. I would just really encourage anyone, whether they're brand new in SEO or have been doing it for a number of years, making sure you're just constantly staying up to date is so important.
Yeah, that is a brilliant answer. Thank you very much for sharing that. I am quite inclined to ask you then, so how and when do you switch off then? So if you're constantly on the go at work and SEO and strategizing is not something, certainly in my opinion, that you can just quickly flick a switch on for 5 minutes, knock a quick strategy out and then go back and do something else. It's got to be something that you're really sort of mentally invested in. Mm-hmm. But then outside of work, you're keeping on top of all these industry blogs and publications. How and when do you switch off?
It is a difficult one, especially for me, because across all of my social channels, I'm so invested in all of it. My personal Twitter is my work Twitter and things like that as well. So when I turn off my emails and things like that, I'm like constantly on Twitter, like having a look, seeing what's going on. I think it's important, especially with working from home. I mean, we've gone fully remote as an agency, so we're going to be working from home forever now. And that has really shed light on the fact that you can work forever. You can work for hours and hours and hours. You just don't even notice that it's hit 5 or 6 o'clock because suddenly you're still in front of your emails and stuff. I think firstly, being really aware of the times that you're working and when you're working till, like making sure you are taking those breaks and making it regular, finishing on time, things like that. Obviously, there's some circumstances where you might need to work over, but just being aware is a really, really important thing. And then like making time for yourself. So whether that's a workout, whether that's you want to just cook in the evenings and making your own meals. Personally, I do quite a bit of yoga. I really enjoy that. I play a bit of guitar as well. So just finding that time to switch off and kind of making it really active. That's just so important because otherwise you will just get trapped in this hole almost. And then if you're constantly doing something, you will kind of fall out of love with it. So making sure you have those breaks will just help to keep you passionate and keep you really invigorated.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. I'm totally going to put you on the spot now, given that you said that your agency has gone fully remote. Mm-hmm. You might have seen there's a lot of talk on Twitter recently. There's always talk on Twitter, actually, about, you know, office, home, a blend. Some people are like 100%, I want to go back to the office 5 days a week. Yeah. Some people are like, I want to be home full time. Some are in the middle. What would you say to those people who would be like, oh, you know, you don't get as much done if you're working from home all the time. You need to be back in the office. You've got to have those conversations where you just bump into someone at the water cooler or whatever. What would you say to those people who are sort of hardcore, you must be back in the office?
I think it really depends on what kind of environment that remote environment is for you. Because if you don't have that support, you don't have kind of a network, you haven't got almost the support from your colleagues and things like that, then you will feel like you do need to be back in the office to have that. For us, we're really active in making sure that people aren't feeling kind of left behind or not feeling left out. We have really regular team meetings. We have a weekly company kind of Feel Good Friday meeting. So we talk about all of the great things that have happened that week. Rather than it being a company chase up, it's very much this great stats happened. Right? We've had all of these amazing things come in, like this person's on this really cool thing. So that's really important. But we do a number of other things, like we did a virtual cocktail event. We do a quarterly company meeting where we go through all of like the statistics and we look at all of the great things each individual department has achieved as well and really bring it to the team. And we keep that almost full office environment going because we're so active on Teams and we're so active with our meetings without really taking away from the productivity side of it. I think we've got a virtual escape room event and a virtual horse racing event coming up as well. So we're being super active with it, again, just to make sure that we're not getting rid of that whole social side of the office, because that is a really big thing for people. And we're quite a young agency as well in terms of like the staff members. Even myself, I'm only 25, so it's always nice for us all to collaborate and meet up. And when we can meet up again, we will be. We've got a few things hopefully lined up for later in the summer and in the autumn time. But generally, it's not for everyone working from home. It's not. But we found for us as an agency, we're more productive. We're performing a lot better. Communication's better. So it does just depend on the individual and the agency as well and how it's kind of being dealt with and handled.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing. Hopefully that will put some demons to bed for those people who are like, you must be back in the office. Last one from me on this topic then. How are you finding communication and leading people remotely versus doing it in person? How are you finding that?
It's been a bit of a challenge. For me, I will admit, I am a bit of a control freak. I do quite like to know what's going on all the time and things like that. I'm managing quite a big team at the moment and we are bringing in a few more individuals to kind of assist with that, just to make sure we're kind of passing the responsibility around to make sure like no one's kind of fully overloaded. But working remotely is very, very different to working in person, and it's just making that additional effort to check in with people more than anything. I think when you're in an office environment, you can kind of see if someone's not really feeling it or if they're a little bit down or they're not kind of being as productive as maybe they were previously, or maybe they've got something going on. You can see it very visually. In a remote environment, it is a lot harder and there is a really big element of trust there, but getting the right people in is the most important thing, because if you can't trust your staff, then what's the point in having them in the first place, whether they're in front of you or whether they're behind a screen, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's really important. But just that, like, checking in, making sure everyone's okay. It's been a hard 12 months for everyone, no matter the circumstances. So just making sure, like, hey, how are you doing? That almost water cooler talk you were talking about earlier, just doing it online and just quickly picking up the phone or quick Teams message or something like that. Just going, hey, how are you doing? What are you working on today? Like, did you have a great weekend? Just making sure that's not lost is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So we are almost coming to the end of the episode, which is a shame, because I've really enjoyed talking to you. But I promise this is the last time I'm going to put you on the spot now. So we've talked about SEO strategy. We've talked about remote versus in the office. If people are listening to this and you could give them, let's say, three or a handful of things that you'd want them to take away from this episode with you, what would they be?
For SEO strategies generally, make sure you understand the market before you're putting the strategy together. If you don't understand the why you're doing it, then there's no point in the whole situation. You don't just need to know the what, you need to know the why. So that's probably the first thing. In terms of if you're new to doing strategies, or you're creating them for the first time, or maybe you've moved from in-house to agency or agency to in-house, don't forget to talk to people, because everyone's going to have a different understanding of what you're trying to put together and why you're trying to do it as well. And having that external insight into an SEO strategy can be really, really valuable. And then I think working from home versus remote. Personally, I find working from home great. I find it actually a lot easier to concentrate because I don't have people yelling my name across the office 24/7 like I used to when I was in there. You'd be surprised, it happened a lot. But just checking in with people, just everyone's okay. It's been a really tough 12 months, and just really keeping that line of communication, whether you're staying remote forever or whether you're eventually going back to the office, is still a bit of an uncertain time, and it has been tough. So just making sure that everyone's really kind of there for it, and yeah, you're really checking in, is so important.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing. What an episode. So if people are listening to this and they want to find out more about you or connect with you on socials, where can they find you? What are your details?
Yeah, so I'm most active on Twitter. So if you want to talk to me, that's probably the best place, because I'm not the best at LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, but find me on Twitter at Sophie Brannan. I'm also quite an active member on the Women in Tech SEO community. So you can find me on their Slack channel. And for anyone who's learning Python or doing any kind of dev course with Udemy, you can also find me on their Discord as well. So I'm more than happy to have a chat about absolutely anything SEO, marketing. Python is very new to me, but happy to have a chat anyway.
Sadly, this is the end of the podcast. A massive thank you from me for being a brilliant guest, giving up one of your evenings and dropping absolute knowledge bombs with me on the podcast, as expected. As always, this is the part of the podcast where I shut up and give my guests the final word on the podcast. So within reason, the final word on your episode is all yours.
Just like to say thank you so much for having me. It has been really, really fun. It's been an absolutely wild few months for me anyway. I mean, it was only in September I was talking to my boss about, oh, I'd really like to be out there a little bit more. I want to learn a few more things like that. And suddenly last week I was talking at Brighton SEO, and today I'm on your podcast. So I don't know how this has all happened, but it's been really, really fun to talk to you and just to go through SEO strategies and the remote versus working in the office whole situation that's been such a hot topic recently. So thanks again, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hopefully see you for the next episode.